Now I'll read you a little piece of the second part of the novel, which is, this first part is very romantic, the second part is very funny, and it's about the four brothers who are sons in this family of low middle class income in this city called La Concordia, which is not romantic at all, and it's full of Frank Masones, just Freemasons and Masonic lodges. So these people are they're hard as tacks, and they're also very, very bright, but mainly very, very funny. Abuelo Chaguito met Brunilda Casares, my step-grandmother, after he left Tia Celia at the convent in Chicago. Brunilda was a pastry maker from Caguas, and I've never been able to eat a piece of wedding cake without thinking of her, because her hair was the exact color of the golden batter she poured into her cake molds. She always kept a tin can full of freshly baked ladyfingers at her house, and whenever Abuelo Chaguito's grandchildren came to visit, she'd offer us some. The lady fingers were just like her, much too sweet and full of air. After leaving Tia Celia at the convent, Abuelo Chaguito boarded the Borinquen in New York and set sail for Puerto Rico. He was very depressed. He dreaded sleeping by himself in his cabin and going back to the house on Calle Esperanza alone. He was strolling sadly on deck, cane in hand, watching the Statue of Liberty slide by on the port side, and thinking of Adela when he saw a large woman leaning on the railing, her blonde hair braided around her head in a golden crown. When she turned around and faced him, she was laughing merrily, apparently at nothing, since she was completely alone. Chaguito approached her and introduced himself, thinking she was an American. "I'm Brunilda Casares. Very nice to meet you. Have you been traveling long? I spent a month in New York. My husband just recently passed away, and I was staying with relatives." And she laughed a silvery laugh, winking at him puckishly, though neither of them had said anything funny. Chaguito made a bow and kissed her hand. "I like women like you, with an ample provision of everything. Caramel tresses, guava flan hips and derriere, and large coconut custard tits full of laughter." Chaguito was very surprised. He wasn't usually so forward, but he was sick of musty black habits, clouds of incense, and mumbled talk of salvation, immolation, and sacrifice. And he was enchanted by Brunilda's laughter. Adela had never laughed like that. She was usually as stern as a sphinx. Brunilda looked at him as if what he had said was the most natural thing in the world and giggled softly, fixing a loose hairpin that sparkled in the afternoon sun. Her good humor seemed to spread out, glimmering over the sea in beckoning waves. Three dolphins sprang immediately to the surface and began to swim next to the ship, curving their sleek backs playfully in and out of the water. Brunilda pretended to be afraid of them and drew closer to Chaguito so he could smell the Bala Versailles essence she had dabbed under the gauze flounces of her dress. Chaguito didn't have to spend the night alone in his stateroom after all. He slept enmeshed in the sweet net of Brunilda's hair. After making love with her, he said to her, "I'm so happy I met you. I swear I could die in your arms." And that's exactly what he does a while later. When they arrived in La Concordia, they were already married. Chaguito walked through the door of 13 Calle Esperanza with Brunilda proudly clinging to his arm. "No one will have to worry about me from now on," he told his children heartily as he greeted them. "Brunilda is young and strong. With her to take care of me, I'll never be a nuisance to anybody. And a few years from now, you'll save yourself a pretty penny because you won't have to put me in a nursing home." At first, the family was concerned because Brunilda was only 28 years old, half Abuelo's age. They were afraid she might be a scheming, greedy woman. But when they saw how she laughed at every little thing and refused to take anything seriously, they stopped worrying. They were convinced she was a complete dunce. The first thing Brunilda did was to bake Chaguito her special ponqué. "I'm an artist in my own right," she said as she brought the cake into the dining room. "It's not my fault that gourmet food is the most perishable of all the arts. It's very difficult to cook one's way to immortality because the tongue has such a short memory and gives only ephemeral pleasure. She had been a locally famous pastry maker before she met her husband, a Dr. Mediavilla, and had had her own catering shop in Caguas. Dr. Mediavilla managed a nursing home for the terminally ill in San Juan, El Ángel de la Guardia, and he had many patients. But when they were married, Brunilda closed her pastry shop and moved to San Juan.